This message is one of the Times Square Church pulpit series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lindale, Texas 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. You are welcome to make additional cassettes of this message for free distribution to friends. However, for all other forms of reproduction or electronic transmission, existing copyright laws apply.
Luke chapter 8 in the New Testament, if you'll turn there with me. Faith still stops the wind. Faith still stops the wind. Luke chapter 8. Now, Father, I thank you today for the anointing. I thank you for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you've never called me once to stand on my own. I thank you for the divine enablement that allows me to disappear and allows you, Jesus, to be seen. I'm asking, oh God, that you would come and that you'd speak to your church today. This is your body. These are your people. This is your word. This is a time and season that you are more familiar with than I am. I'm asking you, oh God, to give me intelligence, to be able to speak simply and clearly that all in this sanctuary can understand. I'm asking for an anointing to demolish hell, demolish the works of darkness, the lies of the devil, the tactics of the enemy, and even the frailty of our own hearts. I'm asking, oh God, that you would take supremacy. Jesus, that you would stand higher and taller than all of these things. You'd be seen, you'd be glorified and desired in this house. My only prayer is your kingdom come and your will be done. Be glorified, be honored, and I thank you for it in your mighty name. Amen. Faith still stops the wind. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he, that's Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now the Bible begins in Luke chapter 8 by talking about a certain day, a certain time, that Jesus spoke to a group of men that had become his followers. And he said, Let's set out on a journey. And there was a fixed destination on this journey. He said, Let's go over to the other side of the lake. And beloved, just as they were, we also are called by the voice of God on a prescribed journey, which is leading us to a certain destination. Jesus himself said, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. We are going to heaven. If you have trusted in Christ for your salvation, God is going to be faithful to you. God is going to keep you in spite of the ferocity of the storm that you or I may have to go through in the coming days. He's going to keep you and he's going to be faithful to you. The Bible says he's not a man that he can lie. His word is absolutely faithful. It's absolutely true. The scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that when he comes again as a conquering king, his name is called faithful and true. He has never failed you, and he will never fail his children. Those who place their trust in him, Jesus said, You are secured in the hand of my Father. My Father is greater than all, and no one can take you out of his hand. You can go through trial, you can go through difficult times, you can go through storms and seasons of difficulty, but Jesus said, You are sealed in the hand of my Father. Beloved, the best thing that can ever happen to our hearts today is that that truth becomes sealed in our spirit. We finally come to the place where we say, Christ, I believe you. I believe what you've told me. I believe every word you've ever spoken to me. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, in the New Testament rather, the word that God spoke to them was never mixed with faith. And because faith never, it's as if they were asking the Lord to speak to me and keep on speaking to me and keep on speaking to me, as if the things that he had previously said no longer carried any weight in their circumstance. But beloved, when God speaks, he doesn't have to say something twice. He only said, let there be light once, and the Bible says light was. He only has to tell you something once. He doesn't have to repeat it. He's not like our natural parents were, for example, when they set boundaries or limitations and seem to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and every time it has a fragment of change involved in it. He's not like that. He speaks once, and his word stands. Thanks be to God. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, you and I only have faith because God has spoken something into our hearts. If God had not spoken, we would have no faith. If we had no faith, we would have no hope for the future. We would have no secure standing in the midst of the trials that every one of us has to face along the road of this life. And not only is the author, but the Bible says he's also the finisher of our faith. He planted a word, a seed of faith in your heart. When you came to him and began to study his word, he implanted faith in your heart. And not only did he author it, but the word of God says he's going to finish it. He's going to bring it through. Every promise he's ever made to you, he's going to be faithful to do and to fulfill in your life. Now, partway through the journey, a terrible storm came. And with the storm, of course, came some very unpleasant circumstances. The Bible says that the great storm of wind came up on the lake all of a sudden. And the water came with the storm. The waves began to rise and began to fill the boat. And somehow, those in the boat who had such a sure word just a few moments before became convinced that their journey was going to end in disaster. How quickly we change. How quickly our confidence in God becomes eroded by trials and difficulties that come our way. God gives us wonderful promises and tells us, I'm taking you to the other side. Then we end up in a trial. Sometimes we go through individual trials and deep waters and winds of adversity that come from circumstance, from the devil, sometimes from our own heart, begin to blow against us. And the waters of what we see as impossibility begin to fill the places that we thought were secure. And very, very quickly we begin to change. And all of a sudden the word that was spoken, it seems that the wind is able to blow it right out of our hearts and out of our minds. Sometimes entire cities go into times of great trial. I was walking the streets of New York last night. I went out about 9 in the evening to go and get something to eat. I'd spent all day, I'd been in the presence of the Lord and walked out, and I was shocked at a sense of the lawlessness that's coming into this city. Beloved, if you are in touch with God, if you are walking with Him, you have that sense in your spirit now. There is a lawlessness just waiting to break out. There's a stirring, there's a restlessness, there's an evil, a blatant evil now walking the streets of this city. Men and women's minds are completely filled now with pornography and violence and all types of unspeakable evil, and just waiting for the opportunity now to begin to act out what in reality they have become. That's why as Christians the Bible tells us, don't bring an abomination into your house, because you'll become just like it. It will begin to overpower your spirit, and you will have no power over the suggestions as it is that are being planted within you. And here are these people in the midst of a terrible, terrible storm. And only part way through the journey, now they're convinced that the journey is about to end in disaster. Amazing. We look at them and say, well, how could you be so foolish? God was in your boat. But then again, they can now look at us. They're on the other side. They've already won the victory as it is, and we're now here facing our storms, and they can very well look at us and say, how can you be so foolish? Do you not understand that God is in your boat too as well? He's with you in the midst of your trial and your storm. From verse 22 to 24, they had somehow been persuaded to accept another viewpoint about their situation. Now, how quickly we can begin to adopt this other viewpoint. Now, Luke, if you go ahead with me to chapter 22. Jesus was speaking to a man who loved him very much, just like he's speaking to you and I today. In chapter 22, verse 31, this man's name was Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, if we tear this verse apart, it really does begin to speak something very specific to us. Desired, the word in the Greek text, means to claim back for oneself. In other words, Peter, the devil wants you back. You've begun to walk with me. You've begun to trust me. You've begun to follow me. You have a desire in your heart to go all the way as it is with me in the journey. You don't want to turn back, but the devil wants to have you back for himself. Now the question we should be asking, then, how is he going to do this? What is the tactic of the devil to try to get a determined child of God to abandon, as it is, the word of God that's been spoken into his heart and to adopt another viewpoint? He's desired that he may sift you as wheat. And the word sift in the Greek text means to riddle. It really means to barrage you with opposing viewpoints. The devil's going to come, and it also actually is the word that can speak about the occult or magic. He's going to come against you with contrary arguments. It's going to be a wind, Peter, that's going to blow so hard against you that you're going to end up denying three times that you've ever even known me. He said, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, the word faith means confidence in divine truths, a miraculous faith. Peter, I have prayed for you that your confidence in the things that I have spoken to you is not going to fail. And then he said to him, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. The word for converted just simply means when you have turned back to something that you have left. That's an incredible thing. I want to give you my paraphrase of this particular verse of Scripture. Here's what I believe that Jesus was saying to Peter. Peter, Satan has desired to toss you by violent storm, the violent storm that you're about to endure. He's going to throw at you suggestions and reasonings that are contrary to the truth that you have heard, to carry you away from me or Christ and back to himself again. But Peter, when you have returned, strengthen the young Christians around you. Incredible. What an incredible thing. Now sifting, the process of sifting in the Bible is that the Israelites would, or whoever was doing the sifting, would wait for a very windy day. And they would take the wheat, they had a special instrument, they would throw it up in the air, and that which was hollow and had no substance in it would be blown away by the wind. That which had weight to it would fall again into the pile. And that's how they separated that which had substance and that which didn't. And Jesus said, Peter, there's a wind coming your way. And this desire of the devil is to sift you with this wind. He's going to blow upon you and try to carry you away from your foundation of truth that's been established in your heart. But when you have returned, strengthen the brethren. What a terrible, terrible storm that Peter suddenly found himself in. And beloved, it can happen to any one of us. It can happen overnight. The phone can ring. You can wake up one morning and all of a sudden hell is sitting on top of your head. Go to work, all of a sudden things start to change. Somebody speaks an evil word into your life, and all of a sudden doubts and fears begin to desire again to arise and to take away your confidence that you have had in Christ along your journey. In Luke chapter 22, verse 55, this is the time when Christ was arrested. Peter did want to fight, but Jesus told him, put up your sword. And a confusion began to enter into his mind, and Peter found himself in an incredible storm. In verse 55 in chapter 22 of Luke says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. Now, what a terrible storm as the winds of contrary argument began to beat against his spirit. And the waters of circumstance tried to drown him in confusion and despair. Now, beloved, we don't understand the totality of his battle in those few hours. And sometimes when we preach it or look at the scriptures, we just think of Peter just sitting there as if his mind was empty. He's warming himself by the fire. Somebody comes along. He's looking at Jesus, arrested and seemingly powerless. Against his captors, and all of a sudden he just blurts out, I don't know him. Oh no, it's much more complex than that. He was sitting by this fire, And the real battle was not the fact that somebody was going to ask him whether or not he was with Christ. No, there was a battle already raging. The winds of adversity, the winds of the devil were already blowing hard at him. Already trying to devour him and to swallow him. And the scripture also tells us that it was after a little while, again in verse 58, that somebody else saw him and said, "You're also one of them." And Peter said, "I'm not." In about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what you say." And immediately as he spake, the cock crew. And we don't understand the totality of the battle, but we do get a possible glimpse of the terrible warfare that he was going through, because Peter later on, in one of his letters to the church, says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." And the word for devour in the Greek means drown. Peter said, "Be sober, be on your guard. Your adversary seeks to drown you." And I can just imagine as he's sitting by the fire and standing there, all of a sudden, the devil comes against him with all types of false argument. "Peter, look, he's not even speaking to you in the midst of the storm. He could at least say something. All he can do is look at you and glance. All he can do is seemingly be led powerless by his hands from one place to another as he's spit upon and mocked. He's not speaking to you, Peter, in the midst of your storm. He hasn't even sent you a message. He's God, isn't he? Can't he send you a message? Has anyone ever heard that voice? Has anyone ever been in a storm and all of a sudden or a trial and the wind of adversity or contrary argument starts coming against you? Surely if God's on the throne, he could say something to you. He could have somebody phone you right now. Could have a kind word to speak into your heart. And all of a sudden these winds of adversity come to try to erode the very foundation of your faith in Christ. Look, Peter, he's just as powerless as you are. He's being led about by the hands. He has no power and neither do you. He can't even get a message to you. No fresh word, Peter, for you. Your hope is in vain. You're drowning, Peter. Go back. Go back, Peter, go back. I know I'm speaking into somebody's life here today. That whenever you go through a trial that you don't understand, quite often the devil is right there at your doorstep and saying, your faith is vain. There's no fresh word from heaven for you. There's nothing to stay to get you through your trial. You are powerless. Christ has rejected you. He's no longer with you. He's captivated as it is. Go back. Just go back to where you came from. Remember Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you back to himself again. He's wanted to erode your foundation of confidence in who you are in Jesus Christ. And when the Lord turned, verse 61, and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he'd said unto him, "Behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh God, I can just feel Peter's anguish. God, I failed you just as you said I would fail you. Just as you said it was going to happen, Lord, it happened. I failed you. And the devil is always there whenever you begin to pray a prayer like that, saying, yes, you have. The journey's over. Admit defeat and go back to your old life. There's people here today that you have prayed that very prayer this week. You're saying, God, I've failed you. I've tried my best to walk with you and I can't. I've looked for a fresh word and I've not found it. And I've failed you, O God. I've tried the best that I know how. And the devil is right on your doorstep saying, yes, it's over. You failed God. I wonder if Satan began to get nervous as Peter kept on praying. You see, he's seen his storm strategy defeated before. If you go back with me just for a moment to Psalm 13, this was a time when David the king was going through a tremendous storm in his life. More than likely very shortly after having to run from Saul, and all types of enemies surrounding him. And David begins to pray in Psalm 13, verse 1. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul and having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I've prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. And you know, sometimes if that's our only prayer, the devil just rejoices over that kind of a prayer. Oh God, how long? Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing? Don't you care that the water is filling my boat? Jesus, don't you care? Where are you in the midst of my storm? And quite often, that's the end of the prayer. People go to God, and it's supposedly a prayer, but it's a veiled accusation, as it is against the faithfulness of God. And the devil loves that kind of a prayer. The devil loves that kind of reasoning, because he's right there behind it. Yes, that's exactly right. God's forsaken you. Yes, that's exactly right. Your enemies are going to overpower you. Yes, that's exactly right. You're going to sleep the sleep of death. Go back. Go back to your old ways. Go back to your old life. Your trust is vain. It's false. But all of a sudden, David, and this is what made David went through storms. Because you and I are called and we're kings and priests unto God, beloved, doesn't mean we're going to go through life breezing it all the way through. There are going to be terrible storms come into some of our lives. Terrible difficulties. There are going to be times come into some people's lives that are hearing my voice today that are going to be beyond human strength to endure. You're going to need the strength of Almighty God to get through it. You're going to need that sustaining power of Christ. There is no other way you're going to make it through the trials that you will have to endure. It may mean nothing to you today, but you hang on a little longer and you'll understand what this is about. But all of a sudden, the prayer takes a turn. And beloved, somewhere down the line, faith has got to get a hold of our hearts once again. In the midst of it's good to have faith in the good times. But faith really doesn't count until the hard times. That's where we really find out what our faith is made of. That's where we really find out in the times of adversity, in the times of contrary argument, that's when we really find out what we're made of. If truly the Word of God has found a foothold in our hearts, there is going to be some substance inside of us. There's going to be something that anchors us in the middle of the storm and causes us to fall and to stay upon that rock of our salvation. David says, but I have trusted. Oh, the devil hates that word. He hates that word when you're beginning to pray and the word trust comes out of your mouth. He hates it. Oh, no. Here comes the trust word again. But David says, I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Hallelujah. And even gets even better. He says, I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David saying, God, you've been faithful to me. You were faithful to me when I was just a kid. And I ran down into the valley with only a stone in my hand. God, you were faithful to me. And in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my storm and difficulty, the promises you made to me then are just as valid now. Hallelujah. In spite of my circumstances, I'm going to trust in your mercy. I'm not going to stand in my own righteousness. I have none. I'm going to stand in the righteousness of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand in the power of his strength. I'm going to rejoice in God's salvation. I'm going to sing unto God because he has been good to me. He has given me his life and his protection and his hope. He has never failed me. Hallelujah. I see Peter weeping over his failure, just as many do, as many have done, I think, this week in this church. The Holy Spirit's surely been speaking it to me. Many have wept over their failure. They said, Lord, you said I would deny you, and I did. God, you said three times I would deny you, and I denied you. You said I would not be able to go as far as I wanted to in my own strength, and you were right, I couldn't go. Oh, Lord, and that's exactly where the devil wants it to stop. Everything that God said we couldn't do and didn't do. But all of a sudden, I believe a light came into Peter's soul, because the Bible doesn't really tell us what is the bridge between this particular passage of Scripture and where he was once again in the room with the disciples where Christ appeared and said, peace be to you. You said, oh God, you said, but wait a minute, you said something else. And folks, it's so important to remember everything that Christ said. You can't, the devil would want you to remember just a part, but when you're in the midst of your storm, you have to remember everything that Christ said. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 14, let me just read it to you. Jesus said it this way. Verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to bring back again to your mind the things that I have spoken to you. Verse 27, here's the result. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it back. I can envision Peter praying, oh God, you said I was going to fail. God, you said I was going to deny you. But wait a minute now, you also said something else. You said that when I turned back, that I was to strengthen my brethren. God, you talked about me coming back. Not just the fact that I was going to go, but that I was going to return. And when I returned, I was going to be stronger than when I left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are going to do something in me that can only be done by the hand of God. Hallelujah. How the devil fears that when the weakest of God's saints begins to understand these truths. God says, yes, you will fail me. Yes, you will try in your own strength. And yes, you won't be able to do it. But I will draw you back. And you won't come back in your own effort because you know there's no hope there. You will come back in the word that I have spoken to you. Faith is going to arise in your heart, even in the middle of your trial, the middle of your storm. And I will do something in you that's never been done before. I will make you stronger than you've ever been. I'll give you more wisdom than you ever have had in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Peter went on. He said, oh, Jesus, you said I would be a rock. You said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, you said I would be a rock. You've even changed my name. In other words, there'd be weight in me. There'd be substance in me. The adverse winds of the devil couldn't blow me away. My God, you would cause me to stand in the midst of all this adversity around me. And you said the gates or the winds of hell would not prevail against me. Beloved, that's got to be the testimony of the church in this last hour of time. God will give us strength. God will keep us. Every word He's spoken to us is the truth. And when the winds of adversity come against us, they will not overpower us. We will be able to go through every storm, every trial. He said, I'm going to have a people that are going to glorify me. They're going to stand and sing a song that cannot be produced by anything of this world or any natural strength of this life. Hallelujah. And they came to him, and they woke him and said, Master, we perish. Another gospel said, they said to him, don't you care that we perish? Master, we perish. Give us a fresh word. You know, we have a whole segment of the Christian church now that are running all over the world looking for a fresh word. They're running to altars, they go to conventions, they go to preachers, they line up to get a fresh word as they see it. And all they're getting in that desire is an adversity to their own soul, and they're not even aware of it. Fresh word. The Bible says in the last days, people are going to be carried about with seducing spirits and winds and waves of false doctrine. The devil is going to come against the church with an incredible flood of adversity. An incredible flood of contrary argument to truth. He's going to present alternate Christs, alternate pathways, alternate routes to victory, other plans. For those that he can't discourage, he will do everything in his power to mislead them. Giving a fresh word as it is to steer the church off course and to take the church into another place other than where Christ said we're going to go. Incredible, insidious. It's so important, beloved, that you know this book now. It's so important that this word get established in your heart. You've got to get in the Bible. You cannot live a Christianity in the coming days that's simply fed off of tapes from preachers around the world and somebody else's revelation and somebody else's understanding of Scripture. You've got to get in here and ask the Holy Spirit to make this book real. If you don't, in the coming days, the adversity, the contrary arguments are going to be so powerful against the testimony and the word of Almighty God. We're living in a generation now where even in the Pentecostal charismatic churches, many have abandoned the word of God. entirely and say they're saying God's doing a new thing. Put your Bible away. That's a contrary wind. That's the devil's lie. That's the enemy trying to sift the entire church and cause it to be blown away by adversity. Because if you don't have the solid truth of God in your heart, when the winds of adversity come, they will carry you. They will take you away. And beloved, a time of difficulty is coming on the whole world. The entire world as we know it is going to be so shaken, so moved. Isaiah prophesied it and spoke about the world being upside down, literally, and empty. The scripture tells us that everything in the book of Hebrews that can be shaken will be shaken. That only that which cannot be shaken may remain. And beloved, the only thing that cannot be shaken is the Word of God planted in the hearts of God's people. They woke him up and said, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care, Jesus, that I'm going through this hard time? What are you doing sleeping in the midst of my storm? You see, beloved, Christ, he said, I give you peace. I don't leave you what the world leaves you. The world is always looking for new solutions every day to age-old problems and can't find them. He said, I don't leave you that kind of an argument. I speak one time and that's all I have to speak. You get in the book and find out what I've said. In this case, he had just simply said, we're going to the other side. Let's go to the other side. And he fell asleep because he knew that's exactly where they were going to go. You know, beloved, he's given you such wonderful promises. He's spoken into all of our hearts and our lives. He doesn't have to say any more. He's already said it. He doesn't have to speak and re-speak an issue. If he tells you something, that's exactly the way it is. You can frame it. You can take it to the bank. You can hold it there. It's worth its weight in absolute pure gold because it's been proven and tried. Hallelujah. No fresh word is needed. There was no new word needed. He'd already spoken the word. We're already going to the other side. I've already told you. Faith still stops the wind. And Christ rose up. And he said to his disciples an incredible thing, which they really didn't get. Where is your faith? I don't think he was necessarily talking about stopping the wind. And many, many interpreters look at it that way, that the disciples were to get up and say, wind, stop, and wave, cease. Now, I don't necessarily think that was the case. I think he's just saying, I've told you we're going to the other side. Where's your faith? As simple as that. I think it was just a very simple statement. Why don't you believe what I say? Why are you looking for some new thing? I told you we're going to the other side. That's exactly where we're going to go. If I told you you're in my Father's hand and no one can take you out, that's exactly where you are. If I told you I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also, that's where you're going to live. If I told you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. If I told you that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you can condemn it, this is the heritage, then that's exactly what you should do. You should condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Every tongue that blows a contrary wind of Christ against you, take authority over it. The scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Where is your faith, Jesus said? Where is your faith to cast down the imagination that you're going to be overwhelmed by your storm? Where's your faith to stand up in the midst of your storm? As Peter probably did eventually as he prayed and said, God, there are many voices yelling in the midst of this storm. There are many opinions in this boat, but only one voice ever made me walk on the water. Only one voice ever called me out of impossibility to what's impossible. Only one voice ever gave me the power to do what can't be done by the hand of man. Jesus, I'm listening to your voice. My God, I can imagine if the people would have had in that boat the courage to just stand up and not necessarily rebuke the storm, but basically say, no weapon formed against us will prosper. No contrary wind will steer us in the wrong direction. No weight of water will cause us to sink, for with us is our God, and he has told us we're going to the other side, and that's exactly where we're going to go. You have to eventually stand up and take authority. Jesus said to you today, you know, there's many come, you're in a time of storm, but the storm you might be in may not be as big as the one that you're going to go into tomorrow. And many have come, you're looking for a fresh word in your storm, something new. But beloved, you don't need a fresh word. The Holy Spirit brings back to your heart and makes fresh that which God has already spoken to you. That's the way it works. God doesn't have to repeat himself, and he hasn't run out of ideas so that he has to start doing new things. He takes something old and just makes it fresh. He brings back old truth and says, I've already told you the end result of this battle. I've already told you where you are. I've already given you an understanding that you are now seated in Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of all authority and power. I've already told you I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the works of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've already told you, I've already said that you can ask, if my words abide in you, you can simply ask what you will and it will be done to you, that your joy might be full. I've told you all of these things. I've told you that you're going to rule and reign with me. I told you that you're a generation of kings and priests. I told you that I'm going to fill you with power so that you can stand and be a living testimony even in the midst of a darkened generation. I told you through the prophet Isaiah that when gross darkness is in all the world, the light of God is going to shine in you. You're going to stand as a testimony to a darkened generation. I've already told you. It's time now for you to stand up and speak to the storm. You have to stand up and speak to the wind. You stand up if the word of God is in you. And you say, devil, you're not going to blow me off course. You're not having my family. You're not taking my house. You're not destroying my mind. Hallelujah. 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 Stand up and take the authority that God's given you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Take the authority. Stand against the wind yourself. It's not a fresh word that's going to keep you. It's the word of God that you already know. Make that declaration to hell itself. Stand and face your enemies. Face every devil of hell. Face every lying spirit. Face every adversity. Know this Bible and stand and say, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. 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 One of the psalmists said in the midst of a psalm, in a time of difficulty, he said, I shall not die, but live and declare the goodness of my God. Bless his name. Bless his holy name. Years ago, I learned to stand. The Holy Ghost in his graciousness taught me something that I never learned in any other place. And I learned it in a storm. I learned it in a time of great personal adversity. When the devil used to come at his will and overpower me. He used to come and make life hell for me. He used to come and try to torment my mind and tell me I was never going to be free from the fear that was so gripping my life. And one day, with one promise from the book, I had one promise. I was a new Christian. I was reading in the Bible, and where Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? How many stones did it take to bring down Goliath? Do you have to know the whole New Testament, or is one word just enough? And I remember the night when I started to experience one of these panic attacks again. They're like hell on earth. And I went down into my living room. Many of you know this. It was around midnight. And I said, well, devil, you throw against me. I'm sick of pills. I'm not going to the pill cupboard. I'm tired of all of the other theories that I've been told about this. Now I'm Christ's. And I said, you throw at me everything you've got. All you can do is kill me. And you can even only do that if God allows you. And if you do, if he allows it, I'm going to heaven. So I said, so you throw at me, I had an actual conversation out loud in my living room. I said, you throw at me everything you've got, but I throw back at you what I now have. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I resist you. I resist. That's all I said. I resist you in Christ's name. And the power of God in that living room came upon me, and I was set free from 9 years of hell in a moment of time. That's 25 years ago, beloved. 25 years ago, God taught me how to stand. He told me never to run. He told me to learn this book and stand on the Word of God. Stand on the promises of God. Don't be looking for some new thing in the midst of your trial. God says, I don't have to speak twice on any issue. I speak once and it's settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for His Word. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God that we don't follow a Savior that has to redefine Himself every 6 months. Thank God that we don't have to follow a Savior that floats a new book out of heaven and gives us the latest set of instructions. Thank God it's recorded and it's all there. Stand in the middle of your storm and declare what God has spoken. You're going to need it, beloved. You're going to need it in the coming days. You're going to have to be able to stand and say, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. You're going to have to know this book. You're going to have to stand and speak into the wind. And it's that solidness of God's word that will cause you to fall again on the rock. And you will not be taken by the winds of adversity. Faith still stops the wind. Hallelujah. Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now, Paul is not asking you and I a question. He's asking it rhetorically. It has that connotation. In other words, Paul is saying, there is nothing really that can separate us from the love of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you begin to stand against the devil in your time of temptation, this is the most powerful argument you can ever make. Take the word of God and throw it right back at him. Devil, I'm persuaded that death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor anything to come, nor any height, nor any depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Now, Father, let's pray together. In Jesus' name, I take authority over the lies of the devil. I take authority over the fears of my own heart. Every contrary argument the enemy and my own heart tries to present to me that is against the truth of what I know through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I cast down in Christ's name all fear, all uncertainty, every lie about my future and my security in Jesus. And I thank you, God, that you give me the power to condemn these lying voices. Satan, I stand against you in Jesus' name. And I tell you, be still and know that Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah! 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 Mighty God! We bless you, Lord! We worship you! We worship! Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No height, no depth, no wall, no storm, no wind, no adversity can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.
This is the conclusion of the message.